All right, so according to the clock on this computer, it's 12:29, and we have five very important presentations to hear, and we only have an hour and a half to do it. So we're going to start 47 seconds early. My name is Michelle. I'm the moderator of this session, but I'm not actually going to do very much because we have such a tight time crunch that I'm going to turn the floor over immediately to our first presenter this afternoon. I guess it's lunchtime. And we'll go from there. We're going to hear all of the presentations. Each presenter will have about 15 minutes, and then we'll save questions and answers until the end. So thank you for coming, and I'm going to turn the floor over right now.
Thank you very much, and thank you for everybody who showed up during lunchtime. And it's such nice weather outside. Before I get started, my name is Stephen Gilson, and I want to make sure that is there anybody in the audience who has difficulty either hearing or seeing? And why I ask that is I want to make sure that I read completely any of the slides for somebody who may not, because I don't believe that we have a sign language interpreter. Okay. The other thing that let me alert you is that what you will see is I have two or three slides that have figures on them. And for issues of access, so that they can also be read by a text reader, following each slide, and I will go through those quickly, is a slide that describes what you previously saw. So for those of you who are tech savvy with web page design, basically it's the equivalent of an alt tag. And that's necessary for full access. I'm going to spend some time talking to you today quickly about what we have labeled responding to diversity and inclusive health promotion and technology innovation. My partner's colleagues with this is Elizabeth Lepoy, who's also at the University of Maine. I am Stephen Gilson. I'm at the University of Maine, and Elizabeth and I are both also with a nonprofit social justice group called Evaluation Practice Group. And Robert or BJ Kitchen is with the University of Maine. The project that I'm going to speak with you today about was funded by the American Legacy Foundation. And although this specifically relates to access to tobacco, cessation, and quitting smoking information, this is a project that we piloted in the development of a web portal that will speak to the issue of gaining access to health information across the board, because we commonly hear about the issue about health literacy. And health literacy commonly refers to, is the health information available in multiple linguistic formats? Rarely does that conversation include, is it available in multiple literacy levels? And one of the things that gets lost in the issue of literacy is it leaves a lot of people not having ultimate access to the very information that they should have a right to have an access to. So for those of us who are involved in this, this is clearly a social justice issue, although we have pinpointed it with tobacco and tobacco cessation because of the funding from the American Legacy Foundation. They were the one group that was willing to take the chance with us. And that's important to note. According to the National Assessment of Adult Literacy, 47%, or over 90 million adults, have difficulty comprehending written text, particularly if it's embedded within complex access tasks and other distracting information. And that, what we think about there is the information that is commonly embedded in our websites, that's commonly embedded on those pages of information that we refer people to, whether it's at our local health departments or whether it's through a local hospital or wherever those sources of information. The more that there's an embedded piece in there, the more complex and difficult it is for some folks to read. Health literacy, and we all know this in the room, health and literacy are positively associated. What we know is that the more literate we are, the more we are able to make, read, and then ultimately make judgments and choices about health practices. So the less able we are to read, the more complex and more difficult it is to gain access to those pieces of information that we all take as being vital. Individuals are increasingly accessing crucial health information and programming electronically, whether it's on our personal agency websites, whether it's on departments of health. And because of literacy level and website design, many people are excluded from accessing this important health information, whether that's because they're not designed according to 508 standards or they're not designed according to literacy levels. What we did is we used a software program called High Software, where we tested the first 10 websites listed on Google search. We put in Google search the terms quit smoking. Interestingly, Only one of those websites, the CDC website Tobacco Information and Prevention Source, passed basic accessibility guidelines. What we're talking about there is passing things like 508 guidelines, which happens to be part of the Americans with Disabilities Act, which mandates that, websites should meet fundamental accessibility in terms of being able to be read by a text reader. It can't be read by a text reader if you can't read it because of that, or can't hear it because you get visibly you're not able to access it because of visualization, then you might as well not have it there at all. So the book might as well be closed. In order to obtain readability assessment data of, in this, because we were working in Maine's and selected national tobacco control websites, we entered basic introductory text from 11 quit smoking or tobacco cessation websites into a web-based readability assessment. There's a Flesch Kincaid where you can enter the text in and it comes out the other side with giving what the readability level. And I'll show you some data in just a minute, but a raw score anywhere between 65 and 100 is the acceptable literacy range for the majority of adults in the U.S. with a grade level of 7 or 8 is the average level at which the majority of the adults best comprehend text-based information. Those two pieces of information become important as we go through here. Looking over, and I just selected some of the sites, and these were fairly typical of those. The quit smoking had a readability level of 45 with a grade level of 12, which means you have to at least have completed the 12th grade to be able to comprehend the information on there. The American Lung Association, you needed to complete 14th grade. So you had to be in your second year of college. The Maine Lung Association came the closest because they had a 9th grade reading level. Maine Public Health Association, you had to have an 18th grade level to be able to comprehend that information. The Tobacco Free Maine, which was sponsored, and I'm not picking them out because they're bad folks, but just Tobacco Free Maine, which was sponsored by the CDC, required a 17th grade level to be able to read that information. And interestingly, none of those websites passed 508 access. So none of them, if you use a text reader, if you could not see, would you have access to that information. Consistent with national findings, what we found was a disproportionate high percentage of disabled adults and Maine's adults from low socioeconomic status with limited educational backgrounds consume tobacco at disproportionately high rates. So what we see is there's a rate of smoking related to a lower reading level. And so if the information is there but available at a higher level, you're not going to learn about it. How are we doing with time?
We're doing good.
This is just an example of the Tobacco Free Maine website, and I'm just showing you this is their website. Our portal then goes out and grabs this information and then translates it into a readability level that translates it back down to between a 7th and a 9th grade level. And interestingly, in this, somebody did an interview of us, read through the Tobacco Free Maine website and said, well, it's comprehensible to me, I don't get it. Well, this person happened to be a newspaper reporter, had been writing for universities for a long time, and didn't get it. This is where I mentioned the home page that tells you what was in. What happens is it goes out. Our website goes out and grabs that information and parses it down to a much easier reading level, a level that is again between the grade levels of 7 and 9, and so it simplifies the text, which then ultimately makes it accessible. Interestingly, one of the web pages in the Tobacco Free Maine that showed the greatest change from what they had and when we did our website was the tobacco prevention one, which was the school policy initiative. This was their website, their web page. Again, the screenshot of that. Run through ours. Now, a couple of things. What you'll notice missing in here is the... if I can go back up, can I go move back up? I would ask you to look there, see where it says, welcome to Tobacco Free School. What we showed here is that the alt tag or the descriptive tag in there that says what that website was about is missing. So if you had a text reader and happened to go to school and wanted to figure out about not smoking, you wouldn't have a clue what this web page was about because your text reader was not going to read that. So it didn't pass 508. What this did is then it went through and simplified the text reading levels at a level, this was around 7th grade, it reduced it down to. The participants that we had 20 volunteers who participated in 3 testing sites. All of the testers received a stipend of $25 for their participation in the round. 15 testers were recruited through a local literacy program, literacy volunteers of Bangor. 9 experienced low literacy due to limited education, and 6 were immigrants who speak English as a second language. We didn't do any diagnostic work in terms of why people had a limited literacy level. It didn't matter to us. The issue mattered if people had a limited literacy level. We also did 5 testers with diverse cognitive disabilities, which limit their attention and reading comprehension. This becomes essential once we begin looking at some of the results. Of the 18 testers who completed the testing, 100% were able to navigate the translated site. 50% remarked that the navigation that was unchanged from the original site was atypical and cumbersome. And that's one thing that's important to realize. We were really here looking at literacy level and 508 center. But the other barrier that people identified was the ease of getting around the system. Was it a navigable site? Was it something that they could readily use? 100% of the testers noted that the colors, which were unchanged on ours from the original website, were not aesthetically pleasing. Those kinds of things are the kinds of things that, in addition to literacy, turn people off to accessing healthcare information. So you go on and you look on, it's not easy to get around, and or it looks unpleasant. The information then becomes basically fundamentally not available. Comprehension for the 18 testers was unexpectedly high on our website, meaning the translation from our web portal met its goal of literacy and cognitive access. So we had, with a mean of 79, a standard deviation of 2. That was much higher than we had anticipated. However, one of the things that was really interesting, and this is, I think, important for us to think about when we think about diversity of learners and diversity of readers, is that group differences related to the reason for low literacy were tested, and we revealed significant difference in comprehension. With immigrants, folks who were in the state of Maine, who were relatively new to the state of Maine, who had English as a second language or a third language, but were primarily quite fluent in their language from their land of origin, had a different reading comprehension difficulty than folks who, for a variety of reasons, either may have stopped working, may have stayed home to take care of children, maybe whatever reason somebody may have stopped going to school, maybe they got a bad education. Then we also found the lowest level of people in terms of having access were individuals with cognitive disabilities scoring the lowest. We also know in terms of the national data that there's a strong relationship between cognitive deficit and smoking. Through our translation, once we did the translation, all of the websites, our old websites met the ADA 508 access standards. And by the way, it's a really simple way that you can test whether your website, your university or your health department or your agency meets the 508 guidelines. Is there's a website called www.cynthiasays.com. If you just pull that up and you plug in the URL for any website that you want, it will interpret that your website to tell you whether it meets 508 guidelines. What we're using then, the results from our finding, is we have now a second year of funding from the American Legacy Foundation, and we're going to use those fundings and findings to use to revise the website design and several translation features to assure that things like name phrases are omitted from the automated translation. Because one of the things that we found in this piece is this automated translation went in and tried to change names. That so if there was the name of an organization is Tobacco Free Maine, that may be a difficult one for somebody to understand, but we didn't want to change some of those basic pieces of information. We're also in our second go-around this year, we are incorporating web navigation and color redesign in the revised and design project, because those were two of the things that people found the most off-putting. Once we met the literacy goal, was the color was an off-putting, and just the fundamental design. And so again, even changing just the literacy, we need to attend to those other pieces of information, those ways people access information, if we're going to expect for people to gain access to them. We did this in 15 minutes.
Perfect.
I want to thank you all very much. I'll be more than happy to chat with you after this. Again, I want to thank you, Elizabeth Lapoy and BJ Kitchen.
Thank you, Stephen. Next, we have Al. we kind of tight in here? Yeah, seriously. Can you hit the... There, yep.